Amen. I will have to say that of all the things, the topics of the Bible, the one that I am least excited about preaching on is the subject of the return of Christ. Not because I don't want Christ to return, but because there is so much stuff on that subject. I mean, you could buy a whole library of books on the return of Christ and probably not be better off than you are. But it's something that I think that it is important that we talk about as we talk about the subject of Advent. And we ask what Advent is, and Advent is simply, if you would put it in one word, Advent is preparation. We are preparing for Jesus' birth. And I'm not here to argue about when Jesus was born. I had someone ask me one time if Jesus was really truly born on December 25th. The answer is he probably wasn't. But that doesn't mean that we stop celebrating his birth. Because the idea is not really the day in which he was born, but it's the message behind why he was born. I have a friend that is writing a book on why we should not celebrate Christmas, and he tries to give a whole bunch of arguments of the paganism and the whole thing that's behind it. And what I find so disappointing about the book, he sent me an excerpt of it, and what I find so disappointing is he's missed the whole point of why we celebrate Christmas. Because Christmas is all about Jesus, amen?
Amen.
And we're here to celebrate his birth. Because without his birth, there would be no death, there would be no resurrection, there would be no hope of life. There would be no eternal life without his birth. And so I believe that his birth is just as important as his death is important. But when we talk about that, we also look for his coming again. In Scripture, there are three major discourses in the Bible. The first one is what we call the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain, depending on which particular Bible book you choose. Matthew has it as the Sermon on the Mount, and Luke has it as the Sermon on the Plain. A discourse is a major teaching of Christ. The second one that we're probably all familiar with also is the Upper Room Discourse. The night that Jesus sat down with his disciples and he talks to them and he talks about the Holy Spirit. From John chapter 14 to John chapter 16, we call that the Upper Room Discourse, that we have the teachings of Jesus as he was up before he died. But there's one other discourse that's not often talked about, and that is the Olivet Discourse. And that is the discourse where Jesus sits upon the top of the mountain, and Jesus' disciples come to him with a question. And the question is, it begins by, they exclaim the beauty of the temple of Jerusalem. And Jesus says that the temple will surely be destroyed. And the disciples go on to ask two questions. He says, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your second coming? And so what begins in that section in Mark 13 is a section of the Olivet Discourse. Now, we are currently going through, verse by verse, the Gospel of Mark, and we will come back to this passage after Advent when we come to this there, and I'll examine it in more detail then, but I want to cover it as we look to Advent for this special reason. That when in Advent we look forward to the first coming of Christ, his birth, in Advent we also look past his birth in the fact that Jesus is coming again. Two words that don't seem to go together is the words suffering and Christmas. Those words just don't seem to go together. Because Christmas is a time of joy, right? We sing it, joy to the world, the Lord is come, right? Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, right? God and sinners reconciled, right? Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply. And then the chorus is, Gloria in excelsis Deo. One of my other favorite songs, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ your Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Right? We sing about joy. But what about suffering? Why is there, in the midst of joy, do we have to talk about suffering? Well, because here's the reality of it. In the midst of Christmas, there is always someone who is suffering. Whether they are suffering from a loss, suffering from an illness, suffering from a trial or a tribulation, there is always someone that is going through that. And it is the same thing with Advent. And during the first Advent, we have the same thing. That while they were waiting for the first coming of Christ to be born in a manger, it was not a good time for the children of Israel. The children of Israel, or the season of Advent for the children of Israel, was a time of suffering. God had seemingly been silent. God had not spoken a word to them in over 400 years. To read the history of the children of Israel during that period, I wouldn't recommend you taking it as scriptural verses, but the books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees in the Apocrypha are great history showing us what Israel tried to do during this period of time, and they didn't do a very good job. They would always try to align themselves with war, and they always align themselves with the losing side. And they get massacred every time, no matter which side they pick, they lost. And they try to go to God, and God wouldn't answer. There was no prophets at this time, nobody like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel who was saying, thus saith the Lord. There was nothing. There was no angels who boldly declared the word of the Lord. There was nothing like that. But instead, there was persecution. There was hardship. There was difficulty. There was suffering. And the continual cry of, how long, O Lord, must we wait? So even though stepping into a passage that starts in Mark chapter 16 that begins with, but in those days after that tribulation. Another translation says, but after those days, days of difficulty, there is hope. The hope for the first people was the hope of Christ's first coming. So even that for us, as we read this message, it seems kind of odd that we would begin our Advent series with after the days of great tribulation. It seems to be odd next to our tinsel lights and stories playing every version of Jingle Bells, right? Why would we start with that? But it fits perfectly in the season of Advent. In this season of waiting, and in the context of a people longing and waiting for God to speak again. So let's look at this passage again. I read it earlier. I want to read it again for us. But I want us to really get this. He says in verse 24, Jesus does, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest ends of the earth to the farthest ends of the heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you that this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep, what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert." There are three things I want us to kind of notice in this passage, and the first one is that while the people were suffering, the Messiah did come. While the people were suffering, while the people were crying, "How long, O Lord, will you come?" the Messiah did come. This was a prophecy in the 13th chapter of Mark to an Old Testament prophecy that was widely talked about in the Old Testament about the day of the Lord. And usually in most of the Old Testament prophecies, there is usually something that refers to the day of the Lord. Some of it talks about a day of great gloom and a day of great judgment and a day of great wrath. But others talk about this day as a great day, a day of redemption, a day of salvation. And it is meant to be for us, it is not a day of fear for the children of Israel, but it is a day of hope. I want you to notice something. If you'll turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. The church at Thessalonica had a question to Paul, is that people kept dying in the church, and the church thought that the day of the Lord had come because everyone was dying off. And so he says in the 13th verse of the 4th chapter, He says, but we don't want to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve and do the rest who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the triumph of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now this is the verse I want you to see, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wait a minute. You mean that I'm to take and talk about the day of the Lord as a comfort, to comfort one another with these words? Yes, because for the Christian who has died and has a relationship with Jesus, and we have eternal life, his second coming is a day to look forward to, because we'll be with Jesus forever. And so therefore he says, comfort one another with these words. And he explains that again in the fifth chapter. I'm not going to read all that, but I want to focus your attention on verse 11. After he goes through and he explains all this concept about the day of the Lord, he says in verse 11, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. So Paul is saying that the day of the Lord, or the teaching of Christ's return, should be a day of comfort, a day of joy. Why? Because it is something to look forward to. We see the state of our world. We see the state of the world that we live in. And what do? We cried, Lord, come back. It gives us hope to get out of the situation that we're in. And that's what the first people were looking at, the first series of Advent. They were wanting to get out of the funk they were in. They were wanting to get out of the persecution and the persecution that they were in with the Romans. And so they were crying, come, Lord Jesus. And he came. And now the second generation of us, we're crying the same thing. Come, Lord Jesus. This time in another way. We want him to come back again. And he is going to come back again. What does it mean that the Messiah has come? Simply mean that he came in the form of a baby. The Word incarnate became flesh, right? John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, or as Eugene Peterson said in his Message version, he says, and he camped in our neighborhood. Right? Jesus came in bodily form and he lived among us. The Messiah came. They were looking for another. Not very many people in that day knew that the Messiah had come, but there were a few that were. And if you look at Luke chapter 2 for a moment, you will find that there were two people that did recognize Jesus' messiahship. And they were two older people in the church. One by the name of Simeon, and another by the name of Anna. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, it says that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout and looking for the consolation of Israel. and for the Holy Spirit was upon him. I want us to know this is the consolation of Israel, meaning he was looking for someone to give them relief for the pain that they were in. And what does he do? Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation." He got the Messiah. He saw the Messiah. "I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles." And we see the one about Anna down in verse 36. "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years and lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage." And then it goes on, verse 38, "In that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." Not very many people in that day got the Messiah, but these two people did. These people were waiting for the first advent. They had been there. They were well advanced in years. They had been there. They had seen the persecution. And they beheld little baby Jesus, and they go, "This is the salvation of Jerusalem." Oh, what a magnificent sight that would have been. Hope. And we as Christians, we look forward to that second hope where Christ will come again. The second thing that we see in this passage is that in our world there is great suffering, but the Messiah did come. We live in a world that is full of people who go without, and not just in the way of gifts. We live in a world today that are full of people who have several situations that we don't have. And it's easy in the midst of all of our situations to forget these people. Let me give you four of them. There are people in this world without parents due to incarnation or incarceration or loss. There are people that have parents in prison because they made bad mistakes, and they don't have parents. There are also those that have lost parents because they have died and gone on. Have you lost a loved one? A mom or a dad that is not with you? To know the fact of having a parent that is not with you is a very devastating concept. But in the midst of that, the Messiah came. There are those in our world today who are without a homeland due to war and persecution. There are entire cities and camps that we call refugee camps, that if you would see the side of those camps, they would make you sick at your stomach. They have no choice in the matter. They had to get out or they would die. But I'll tell you what, the Word of God is going pretty strong over in those camps. Because we speak of the message of Jesus. There are people that are living in this country that have no home because of war. Their home is war-stricken. or they've been persecuted for their faith in Jesus. But in the midst of suffering, the Messiah did come. There are those today without food due to famine and poverty. Now, I'm not talking about people that made bad decisions and decided to spend the money on alcohol rather than food. I'm talking about people that are living in countries that they have no food anywhere. I think of when we had the Fishers here, they talked about Venezuela, that you had one day of the week to go to the grocery store and you had to get in line, and if you didn't get there in time, you went without food for a week. It's not like you can say, well, I'll go to the grocery store tomorrow, because if your number was today and there was no food today, well, you were out of luck that week. There are people that just can't go down to the Fry's to pick up a case of chicken if they're hungry. They're without luck. And there's people that can't even afford to buy food. And in the midst of that suffering, the Messiah did come. And notice what I'm saying is that there's hope because the Messiah came. There are those without health due to disease or oppression or violence. There are people that are sick today, but the Messiah came. My friends, there is real suffering in real ways for many. And it feels like God is not speaking. Have you ever talked to some of these people? I have. Some of them are so mad at God, and they go, I cry out to God, and I want God to be so near to me, but it's like He's so far away. Is He there? He's there. In the midst of our suffering, the Messiah did come. There is real suffering, there is. But where is the message of Christmas? The message of Advent is not. Those who suffer today, like those of old, are crying, how long, O Lord, must we wait? And number three, Advent is not just a season that happened long ago, but in this passage in Mark, it holds the already not yet kingdom of God. Christ has come already, but Christ will also come again. Christ has come already, but Christ will also come again. For those who are suffering this morning, may I say to you that Christ has already come. And we, the church, are to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of that suffering to illustrate the incarnation of Christ. We are to be the hands and feet of Christ. We are to reach out to those who are suffering to say, yes, the Messiah did come. And we are the illustration that Messiah did come. We are the hands and feet of this broken world. We step out and we pray, Lord, there's a broken world. And God's going, you're the church, do something about it. Through comforting words, we can be that instrument of hope to those people today that are lost, that have parents that have died or that are in prison. For those without food, we can give a meal. Notice that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the physical representations of Christ that can make Advent a reality in our world today. For those who are suffering, may I say that not only has Christ come, but I will say that Christ will come again. Now, and when he does, he's going to come and he's going to make all things right. And we must look forward to the day in hopeful anticipation. And what do? We do what the old song says. We keep working until Jesus comes. My friends, let me tell you that the day of the Lord is not to be feared, but it is for us to embrace in the ways we live now. We move forward in expectation, in hope, knowing that our work is not in vain, and that despite our temporary sufferings, despite hardship and pain, despite overwhelming evil and suffering, we work for the kingdom of God now. And the day of the Lord is now. But we also work for the kingdom of God to come, in hopeful expectation that Christ will return, that this too shall be made right, and that our question, how long, O Lord, must we wait, will be answered not long, no longer. As the master of the house comes and makes all things right. So what do? In the meantime, we be on the alert. Jesus says the last thing in that passage in Mark chapter 13, verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. And while we're on the alert, we can still be the hands and feet of Jesus to make Advent real to those who are suffering. Let us pray together. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. We know that, Father, the time of Israel was a time of great suffering and distress. They were in captivity to the Roman people, and they cried out, Lord, how long until your Messiah came? And while they were crying out in a little manger, in a cave, in a little town called Bethlehem, baby Jesus was born. And two older people came when he was brought to the temple, and they said, this is the Savior of Jerusalem. How long, O Lord, till they came? He came right now. And what did he do? He suffered and died upon a cross so that we could be saved from our sins. But Father, we live in a world that is still full of suffering. We all have people that we have lost. We all know of people that are suffering with food and illness and various things. And we cry, as did the Israelites in the first, how long, O Lord, until you come again? We don't know when you're going to come back. We don't know the day or the hour. But Father, help us to be alert. But yet, Father, while we are alert, help us to continue to do your will, to be the hands and feet of you, Jesus, so that they can say that, yes, Christ did come, and yes, he will come again. Help us, Father, to encourage one another with these words. For we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.